Isn't that wonderful to have a grandpa who knows the facts of life? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. Isn't it wonderful to know a grandfather who knows the facts of life? A very dear friend of ours has a very dear friend who has a very dear grandfather for her brand new baby. Now, figure that out. Christy, our student in London, was studying nursing. And while studying nursing, she stayed with a friend, with an uncle, and he and his family hosted her. And the family had a daughter and two sons, and she grew up in that environment of nursing and medicine, while the father himself was a gynecologist, and the daughter was studying medicine, and I don't know, did the son study medicine too? But anyhow, they were all very busy in many callings of life. Well, Chrissy sent this man copies of The Gist and copies of our tapes and copies of everything she could make a copy of, and told him to listen to us on the internet. And he listened to us on the internet. He listened to me. And he said, that's his philosophy. That's what he believes. That's what he thinks. And when we met at his home in
Lucerne,
in near London, he was very, very loquacious, telling me all about how wonderful the philosophy is. And then he had a very dear lady friend there who was not of any persuasion at all that I could see, and she was very ready to tear me apart. And she wanted to find all the faults she could in our philosophy, all the faults she could in our religion. And so I finally had to say to okay, I said, okay, I don't want to offend your guest, but the things that she's saying need rebuttal. He said, well, rebut them. And I said, well, it's your guest, you know. And he says, rebut him. So I rebutted with her. And I made her sound like a princess in the process. And because I did that, she was readily able to accept everything we said about our philosophy, because it fit perfectly in anything she believed. I have no idea what she believed, but it fit perfectly in everything that she believed, because I ran the knitting needle around the whole circuit and brought everything in place. And then she got up from the table and went in the other room and sat watching some sports game. And then after a few minutes, she came back into the dining room where I was sitting, and she says, you know, this I should have known a long time ago. This is good stuff. And I could just see the gleam in her eye, which says, I can handle this. And if this is what's going to get me this man as my husband, that's even better. You know, I mean, I could read it in everything she was saying. She's not a bad lady. She's just a very positive lady in what she had in her mind. She had her daughter there, who was a gorgeous looking girl, just beautiful. And the daughter had her two daughters there, who were 13 and 14, and gorgeous little girls himself. And, well, the man is now a grandpa to his daughter, who moved to San Diego and had a baby. And she said, the baby is very special. And Chita, and Chita's the name of the baby. And she said that the baby was born in the hospital, but as soon as she could, she got out of the hospital and took the baby home. She didn't want the baby to associate with illness in the hospital, to associate with anything that was there. So she brought the baby home, and of course the baby is doing just fine, knowing as much as she does about everything she does. And then her father came to visit. Her father came into the house and he says, where is my grandson? And she showed him her grandson, his grandson. And he said, Well, how is my little genius? You are a genius. You are number one, you know. You are perfect. You know, every organ, action, function of your body is perfect. He gave him the whole ball of wax. And the little kid sat there, and he's only about 2 or 3 weeks old at the time, and he sat there and he listened to his grandpa, and he sat up and he said, "You're right, Gramps, you're right." And his grandfather was utterly amazed that this child of only several weeks could sit up and talk to him. And of course, the grandfather had to report this, that he did that. And everyone said, "You're joking, you know, it's not really so." We mean, yes, he's joking. So everyone had to say he was joking. And do you believe he was joking?
No.
No.
Not at all. Do you think that little guy knows who his grandpa is?
Yes.
Do you think his grandfather is a very significant part of his life?
Yes.
And why? Because his grandfather recognizes him for who he is. He didn't say you look like your mom or your dad. He didn't say you look like your grandpa. He didn't say you look like your grandma. He didn't say anything except, hey, he's the greatest. Now, why is that true? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every grandfather approached their grandchildren with that same attitude? What would happen to those grandchildren as they grew up? What would happen to those children as they entered into life and had friends and associated with others? They would be the masters. And they'd be the geniuses. They'd be the geniuses without acting snooty, without acting better than thou, you know. They'd be the geniuses just being geniuses. Anything that needed to be done, they would have the answer. And they'd have fun doing it. Now, could you be such a grandfather? You say, oh, sure, I would be. I'd bull roar. You couldn't be that kind of grandfather for a million years because you're women. And you could be grandmothers, perhaps. But again, you probably couldn't be that kind because you don't have that initial spontaneity in you that he has in him. To him, he has found a new philosophy. To you, you have found this philosophy quite a while ago, and it's pretty much old hat to you. And you say it with such commonality that oftentimes no results come to you. But because he is so new to it, because he is so spontaneous in it, when he speaks his word, the world trembles. Everything turns on in high gear. And his little son, his little grandson, is already supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Just absolutely fantastic. Because his grandson was given a welcome into the world by him. He didn't have Doris there. He didn't have Doris Strickler there. She's a nurse in Zurich, in a hospital in the preemie ward for children who try to get their life started early, you know. And so each little child that she greets that comes into her preemie ward, she says, "You're a genius, you're fantastic, you're glorious, you're whole and perfect. Everything about you is absolutely fantastic. You are so advanced, you are so," you know, and she says this. It's her litany that she speaks to her little children that comes to her attention. And these little children, they all beam and glow, and they're not with her very long. They're out of there. They're with their parents, as they should be. They're with their parents who can cuddle them and snuggle them and tell them how wonderful they are. The more we learn how to do this, the more we practice in doing this, the more we experience ourselves in being who we are and having fun, the more it'll be for us. Now, this lady, she said, when she talked to me on the phone before, she asked me some questions and I gave her some keys. And she wanted me to repeat the keys. And I didn't want to say to her, "Well, I gave you the keys and if they weren't worthwhile remembering, you wouldn't remember them, you know." She said, "Well, what were the keys?" And so, Christy, what were the keys?
Unlike me, I am myself and having fun. I am divine order. I am peace.
Peace is the extra one. But I am divine order. I like myself.
I'm myself and having fun.
I am myself and I have fun. Now, these she remembered the minute I mentioned it. Oh, yeah. And those are the key. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret now I haven't told anybody else in the world. I'm going to give you these keys, three keys. And you figure out how to use them. Now, Ellen, how would you use these three keys?
But I like me by...
No. How would you use them, period?
By being myself and having fun.
How would you use the three keys?
By being it.
How would you use the three keys? How would you use the three keys?
Being myself and having fun.
How would you use the three keys?
By being myself and having fun.
You would use the three keys. Damn it. You would use the three keys. There are three keys that are to be used. It's not something that you're blasé stating. You're using three keys. You would say those three keys until they open the lock for you. And the lock is inside. And you use those three keys to open the lock inside. You'd use those three keys again and again and again and again and again until they open that rusty lock inside of you that holds the key to all that stuff. Being yourself and having fun and all that. Is that true?
Yeah, it's cool.
I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You can have these keys, mm-hmm. and you can spout these keys. Oh, yeah, that's nice. Oh, all is in divine order. Oh, God, I wish, I hope so. Oh, you know, moan. Really? We have a neighbor who has a problem, and what are we going to do about it? We're going to go over there and bake him a cake? That would be a nice thing to do. But what do, Ellen?
All is in divine order.
Is there anything else to do?
No.
Is it done?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we had an incident last night, that took place here, and what did we do?
All is in divine order.
And so it was. So it was. You see, if you don't immediately use your keys, nothing's going to happen for you. And that's what this grandfather taught his grandson. He taught him the keys. He taught him to use it, and he said it again and again until it was a little sickening. But not to the kid. Because what was coming through from Grandpa? Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Herb, why did you say damn? I don't know. Why did you hear it? Did you hear it?
No.
Good for you. Good for you. Good for you. You see, I will do anything I can to press your buttons and wake you up. And sometimes I say things that sound atrocious and gross and negative. If you take it that way, so it is. Or if you say, I was sleeping. I wasn't paying attention. What did the grandfather say to his grandson?
Oh, you're genius.
And?
You're number one.
And?
You're all perfect.
You're fantastic. You're home perfect. You're a genius, you know, etc. And he gave him the whole litany, didn't he?
Yes.
Now, do you know the litany?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Have you any additions to the litany?
Yeah,
ideal. Lots of them.
Ideal son.
Oh, he's the ideal son from the ideal grandpa.
Yes.
Now, let's take that our step further just for our own personal enjoyment. He's the ideal what?
Grandson.
He's the ideal what?
Being.
He is the ideal being. You see, the moment, he's not going to be a grandson. He'll always be a grandson to whatever, but the thing is, he will not be the idea of a grandson. Of course, that comes in all ages, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But he would be the ideal being. And that way, it'd be grandson, it'd be father, mother, husband, daughter, wife, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. But he'd be the ideal being. Now, are you the ideal mother? Are you the ideal wife? Or are you the ideal being?
The ideal being.
When I say to you, wife, mother, grandfather, instantly ideas come to your mind as to what fulfills the definition of that word. And whenever you have those definitions of those words fulfilled without your choice, then it's not good. It's limiting. So take a word that you can't make a definition for. Being. The ideal being. Or, if you're strong enough, Ingeborg is the ideal. Ideal what? Ideal being, ideal woman, ideal whatever, you know? All sounds good, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the ideal. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. See? So, think on these things. They're kind of interesting, and they're kind of wonderful. And remember, it's up to you to take those keys and put it in those rusty locks and keep turning it and keep turning it until the lock opens. Sometimes you have to turn it quite a while. Sometimes it just bursts open because it's been ready. You have given yourself good maintenance. So, thank you, Grandpa, for all the grandpas in the world who say to their grandsons and granddaughters, you're a genius, you're wonderful, you're fabulous, I love you, you're number one, and more. To all of you, how wise you are. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.